This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So that should give you a clue about what our next story is going to be about. Welcome back to The Daily Digest with Sharmila Ganesan, Julia Jacobs and Sumitra Selvaraj. And if you haven't guessed already, we are talking about the TV show Friends, which celebrates its 25th anniversary this week.
So in relation to that, we're asking you on Twitter, because Friends is marking its 25th anniversary, do you still enjoy television shows that you watched when you were younger? Your options are yes, no, and I've outgrown them. At the moment, 69% of you say yes, you still enjoy them. 7% say no, and 24% of you have said that you have outgrown them. You can keep joining the conversation. Do take the poll by tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 with your thoughts, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
So for many of us who were watching TV back in the 90s and early 2000s, it was almost impossible to escape the pop culture phenomenon that was Friends. The show debuted on September 22, 1994 on NBC in the US, and it's not overstating things to say that this show made sitcom history.
And it also made household names of its characters, right? After all, who doesn't recognize the names Monica, Joey, Chandler, Rachel, Ross, and Phoebe? And it's undeniable that the show made international stars, multi-million dollar stars, I might add, of its actors, Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, Matt LeBlanc, Lisa Kudrow, David Schwimmer, and Matthew Perry.
And so for those of you who don't know, Friends is the comedic story of six friends in their 20s and 30s who live in New York. And the show depicts their relationships, struggles, adventures, careers, all of that. And perhaps more importantly, their very strong friendship. And the show ran for 10 seasons and was one of the top 10 TV shows in the US throughout all of its seasons. And it was also one of the most watched English shows worldwide.
Did you guys used to watch Friends?
Yes.
I'm an unashamed fan.
Yeah, every single episode.
I didn't get into Friends until much later. I think I wasn't. American television wasn't my thing in that exact period of time. I was very much more into British comedies and British television series. So I never got the appeal of Friends. But later, maybe about a decade later.
So you're one of the young audiences.
I'll take it, I suppose.
But I think what used to strike me when I was that age, and because I grew up with the show as well, is just how much of it seeps into your daily, you know, from the how you do it to the could you be anymore? You know, there's just so many little lines that even today, my friends and I, who, or, you know, my cousins or my siblings, we just have to say the line and everyone knows that that's a Chandler line or that's a Ross thing, you know?
But it was also the other pop culture references, the Rachel haircut.
Yes.
Which still exists.
I desperately wanted a Rachel.
So I even tried to get one, but my hair was too wavy.
No, we're going to have to dig up those photographs, aren't we, Juliet?
No, and even though the show ended in 2003, the show actually continues to be one of the most watched shows in the world, thanks to syndication and especially streaming services like Netflix. It is actually one of the most streamed shows ever on Netflix. Mm. And in 2018, Netflix actually paid the program's owners, which is Warner Media, about $100 million US for the right to stream it just for the next 12 months, because starting 2020, the show will go back to go over to HBO Max, which is owned by Warner Media. So just for the right to have it for that one final year, because it's one of highest streamed show.
And the popularity is not just amongst older audiences who used to watch Friends in its heyday, right? Because of Netflix and the fact that, you know, its rerun is so often on TV stations around the world, Friends has gathered a whole new audience of young people who have discovered...
Like you, Sumitra.
Yes, after the show's ended. I remember being in... Well, you know, whether you were in India or Vietnam or, you know, Sri Lanka, you could switch on the television and you could be almost guaranteed of a rerun of Friends happening, right?
Yeah.
So, for instance, right, a survey this year of British children aged 9 to 16 found that Friends was their favourite series. Wait, 9 to 16?
Well, I was 11 when Friends premiered, so it's really not that that unusual. Yeah.
Yes, you know, but for these 9 to 16 year olds,
I think get syndicated on daytime TV and things like that.
True, but they weren't even twinkles in anybody's eyes
when the show 25 years ago. Yeah, that's right.
and like I mentioned, you know, in India, the show is repeatedly broadcast by Comedy Central, and it is the most watched English show even now.
Mm. Yeah, but with the changing times, I guess values can change too. And not everything about the show has held up so well. You know, as the show was being rediscovered by a whole new generation, it also faced criticism in the past few years about some of its, I guess, its plot lines and its jokes. There were some articles and think pieces like Friends moments that will make you totally cringe now, and 21 times Friends was really problematic, and even why the Friends TV series is problematic. So, you know, among the issues that get pointed out often are the sexism and homophobia. You know, there was a lot about Chandler being gay because of his how he behaved.
Yeah, yeah.
There was even, you know, transphobia because Chandler's father, who was a trans woman, you know, they constantly made jokes at her expense. I mean, even, and I think that was another issue. They never referred to her with the correct
pronoun. Yeah.
Pronoun, mm-hmm. Exactly. And one that always got to me was the fat shaming that Monica used to suffer because she used to be overweight when she was a child. Yes. And it was always made like the butt of the joke, right?
And in fact, right from the first episode.
Exactly. Yeah. So
one of the questions, in fact, that was asked to the show's creators, Kevin Bright, David Crane, and Marta Kaufman, during the show's 25th anniversary celebrations at the recent Tribeca TV Festival, was whether they regretted some of these storylines. So Kaufman didn't specifically say address these particular aspects that you just mentioned, Juliet. She did say, though, that it's much harder for her to enjoy these good moments now when there are moments in it that she looks at and she goes, oh my God, how we let that happen? How did we do that, right? But that said, the other creators were a little bit non-committal, I think, and they were a lot more like times change, and you know, perhaps we should have spent more time with particular jokes, but it is what it is. So to get an idea of how we look back at the shows that we used to love, and particularly Friends, I spoke to Cam Ruslan, who is a Friends fan and is the host of BFM's own A Bit of Culture. So here's what he had to say. Friends is one of those TV shows that gets analysed a lot in terms of the values it depicts. And it does get a certain amount of criticism, which is now, for what is viewed now as being fairly regressive ways of depicting certain things. For instance, homophobia, fat shaming. Do you think it's fair to view the show through today's lens?
Is it fair? It is what happens, whether or not that's fair. I'd say not fair, because in the case of Friends, in that when I first saw it, 25 years ago now, there are a number of things in there which were really progressive, but casually so. So that, for instance, Ross's first wife turns out to be a lesbian. Now, it's yes, of course, it's played for jokes, but at the same time, she then goes on to, we meet her girlfriend who, do they become married? I can't remember.
They do. They show the wedding. Right. And it was the first time a same-sex marriage was ever shown on, I think, TV in the US.
Right. And I don't think the joke was that it's one of the few weddings where Ross would go to where he wouldn't end up being divorced or something. and this same-sex couple raised the child. So it's kind of bare bones. I mean, it's unheard of. There were no other depictions of such a thing. And I think the filmmakers themselves were aware of this, because if you look at the pilot, the very first pilot, Ross's wife is in there, but the girl who played Ross's wife was a different girl. And she was very cute. She was very attractive, very, very girly. So that it was sort of unbelievable, and it was a bit more kind of sexy. But then they recast the wife, and she was a more believable character, believable woman. And it was not played for jokes, but I mean, there were jokes around it. But I thought that was very progressive.
But what do you think is happening? Because the show is being discovered by a new audience. And what do you think is happening in terms of how the show is viewed now that these sort of criticisms are coming out?
I think that people, not all people, but not quite a few people, are wanting to see representations of perfection and denying evolution toward imperfectibility, or possibility of a movement toward perfectibility. Friends ran for like 300 episodes in the end, which is incredible.
10 seasons.
Yeah. Mm. So there needed to be room for journeys and progressions and changes so that they couldn't be just simply standard bearers for a political viewpoint from episode one through to season 10. There's no change. There's no drama. They're just going to be soapboxing where they stand politically. And that's just not funny.
Mm. How do we then view TV shows or films for that matter from a different era when we consume it after the fact? Because that's happening a lot more now with, platforms like Netflix and YouTube. You can discover these shows, but a lot of the times you're viewing it through a very different lens.
Well, you can watch them anthropologically. Friends is 25 years, but of course it was shot in color. And all the actors are still alive, and they're still, relatively young. But you can always jump back to older pieces which were shot in black and white and where the actors are no longer alive. Great sitcoms like I Love Lucy and the Phil Silvers Show. And you look at I Love Lucy with Lucille Ball, hilarious stuff. And in it, it's her show. She's the star, but she's married to her actual husband. And he is a 1950s... man of the house, he is able to say, no, you cannot do that. I forbid you. And Lucille Ball is like, oh, why? Impossible to imagine that. But if you watch it and say, okay, this is a window into the 1950s, I think, it's still funny, and it's an interesting way of looking at where we've come from.
Is that actually possible for it to still be entertainment if we are constantly looking at it in this anthropological way, or looking at it in terms of how it's regressive? What are its values?
I think it is very much so. I mean, we came here to talk about Friends, but I'm going to say I Love Lucy again. It's an incredibly funny scene where she and her friend are working in a chocolate factory. And all they have to do is place the chocolate onto a conveyor belt. And the conveyor belt goes faster and faster. So they end up having to eat all the chocolates. That's funny. And it doesn't matter what the politics are around it. Mm. No, I think we can look at it anthropologically. And two, we should. We need to know where society was in the case of I Love Lucy, where American society was in the 1950s. I don't know. We have some documents that show where Malaysian society was at that time. We need to know.
Do the creators and the actors who were involved in the show, in this case with Friends, and this is happening a little bit now with it being the 25th anniversary, do you think it's necessary for them to make amends, explain themselves? Is that something that needs to be a part of that process now?
If there was something truly egregious, and I can't think of anything that really crosses the line. If Joey Tribbiani had been a vicious anti-Semite throughout, I don't know, something or other, then maybe. But I don't think, I don't know. They may fear the younger audience enough to feel that they need to do that. For me, they don't need to apologize to me. I forgive anything, I think. I mean, like the fat shaming issue with the Courtney Cox character, mm-hmm, Monica. And then we have episodes where she's wearing a fat suit, flashback episodes. And what I found funny about that back in the day was that Courtney Cox was so good physically. She moved in such a funny way. And it was still so sort of like Monica, but more so. And then the character carried this fear of putting on weight throughout the rest of the show. And I felt that was a very believable stance, and it gave a humanity to the character. So, and it gave tension. Mm. And you always need to have that inner tension. And the Rachel Green character, I think, is one of the best characters ever, because she's very girly, she's very vain, and she grew up in a certain environment, social background, and she wants the tropes of that background, but at the same time, she wants to be an independent woman who's judged in her own right, and she goes on to become a single parent and all that kind of thing. And I think that these are worth and worthy of investigating and applauding.
That was Cam Ruslan, host of BFM's A Bit of Culture. So we have been asking you on Twitter about your own experiences with revisiting old TV shows, actually.
And at the moment, the results are that 67% of you say yes, you still enjoy watching television shows you watch when you're younger. 9% of you say no. And 24% of you say I've outgrown them. We've had some interesting comments as well come in. MN Ibrahim says, still enjoy watching them, even though not as much. Ultraman, MASH, I Dream of Jeannie, Charlie's Angels, and of course, Friends. Trip down memory lane. Jason says that love Friends as well as other shows such as Full House, Growing Pain, and Family Ties, just to name a few. TV shows nowadays have lost so much of their charm compared to the 70s, 80s, or even 90s. Growing with the times, I guess. We had some really interesting comments come in via WhatsApp, right? Cheryl messaged in to say that, did you know that Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has been quoted as saying that he learned how to speak English by watching Friends.
Apparently very common for people around the world.
I've heard people in India say the same thing too. We also had Maggie who said that she definitely prefers the shows from before the digital life. Sounds snobbish, but feels that they had more value, like Little House on the Prairie, Centennial, Ironside, Hawaii 5-0. That's really taking a trip back. Right? We had also a really lovely message from loyal listener Kelly, who says that, I just finished binge watching all 10 seasons again. And it's so weird how I still find the same jokes funny after hearing it for the bajillionth time. While I love the show, I hope they never have to do a remake or reboot it, because I'd like to imagine the characters with their happy endings and living their best life the way the show left it. And I would feel really sad if the reboot tried to paint something different and ruin that fantasy for me, like the Gilmore Girls did. We've got a comment specifically for Sharmila Ganesan. Hello, team. Bigger Picture, please ask Sharmila's experience of eating Rachel's famous trifle.
Oh, no.
She ate it 2 years ago. Fess up, Sharmila Ganesan.
This is a friend of mine who is a very, very good baker, makes her living by it, and one day decided that she'd try the infamous trifle that Rachel mistakenly made, the one with beef sautéed with peas and onions.
So what had happened was, it was a Thanksgiving dinner and Rachel ended up having 2 pages of her cookbook glued together.
So she mixed up a recipe for shepherd's pie and trifle.
Correct.
My friend made this trifle and we both sat down and ate it. Well, we ate a spoonful of each and then promptly ended up feeling like we needed to throw up.
So you didn't agree with Joey then?
No, not at all. Sad. It was not cream good, beef good. So on that embarrassing note, I think we do need to wrap up this conversation. But you can continue to tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We're also on Facebook. You can look up BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, I will be sticking around despite my red face, and I will be speaking to Sitis, who is the project manager of an upcoming art exhibition called Pink, which explores the pinkification of contemporary society. And now, of course, we have to end the show by playing you I'll Be There For You by the Rembrandts on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.